time to welcome our special guest. He's the interior design expert on the Emmy Award-winning Netflix series, Queer Eye. It's Bobby Burke. Hello, Bobby.
Hi. Thanks for having me, guys. Very excited to be here.
Thank you for joining us. You know, I am not alone with saying this. I think all of the internet has said this. You, as the design expert, you do a lot of work on this show.
Well, I mean, yes.
Yes.
But I knew that going in. Like, yeah. I knew that, you know, the design aspect of the show was going to take a whole lot longer than the cooking or the fashion or
right.
the hair, you know. And Jonathan, though, there have been haircuts like Jody in season 3 or 4. She had that long hair she hadn't cut in 22 years. I think it took him like 8 hours between the color and the cut. Like, it takes him a long time too. But yes.
Some haircuts are just harder to do than a kitchen renovation. It's true.
Yeah, right.
You know what? In all honesty, they probably are.
Less
you know,
choices.
I know how that kitchen is going to react to bleach. He doesn't always know how that hair is going to react.
That's right.
And right now, you know, because of quarantine, we're all spending a lot more time in our space, looking at our stuff, our things. Do you have a succinct design philosophy?
I mean, my approach to design is really about how it will make people happy, how it will make their life function better, how it will affect their mental health. Oh, I almost hit stop record on that as I was talking.
So when, on the show, when you're walking into your hero's living space and you're mm-hmm. thinking about functionality, pragmatism, and then you're adding that extra thing of, you know, how is it going to make them happy? That's like the hardest element, I imagine, because that's so specific.
So I usually go out a few weeks before the other boys, and my team and I, we find a warehouse and we fill it full of shelves and we start ordering, I mean, anything you could possibly think of. And then that week after I meet them and I learn about them and I learn about stories from their past and their families and lovers and their dream vacations and favorite shows, that's when I start finding out things that I'm really going to infuse and make it really personal for them, to where when they walk into that home, they don't feel like they're walking into a home of a stranger. They feel like they're walking into their home.
Right.
And then I have a big box truck with shelves on the sides. And I go in and I fill that box truck full of stuff that I'm like, all right, this feels like them. This feels like them. And then we park that in the front yard. And that's kind of our little mobile store. And we just go and start doing things.
And you share a lot of your own personal story on the show. Part of that is that you've shared that you have been fired from almost every job you've ever had before owning your own business, of course. Yeah. Were there any particularly glorious firings?
Yeah, I mean, I got fired from Restoration Hardware while Tom Felicia was in the store filming Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Oh, wow. He was the original you, right?
Yeah. Big mistake. Huge.
Was it something that happened with those two situations colliding?
No. So I was the merchandising manager and visuals manager. So I was at the store the night before, like getting the store perfect. You know, I'm a Virgo. Nothing but perfection is acceptable. So the team and I were supposed to have left at like 8 at night. I ended up leaving at like 1 in the morning. We all forgot to clock out. So next day I get to the store, Queer Eye is there filming, and I go down to clock in and I realized that we hadn't clocked out, but the general manager had assumed we left at 8, like we were scheduled to, and just clocked everyone out at 8. I saw that. And so with another manager standing there with me, I was like, I'm fixing everyone's time, including my own. Well, changing your own time was very much against the rules. And so the general manager reluctantly had to fire me. And like, it wasn't a, oh, you're fired. It was a, oh, why did you do this? Like, the manager that was there with me, come to find out, like, hadn't wanted my position. And so wanted me out of there. And so she's the one that went ratted me out. Candy, I remember you. Don't think And so, you know, she had to fire me. But it's funny, like, I've kept in contact with that general manager throughout the years. Like, it wasn't a negative experience. You know, it was a, I get it. It's a technicality.
It's like regulations.
Yeah. And so when the press came out that I had been cast on the show, like she sent me a DM and she's like, aren't you glad I fired you? I'm like, yes, I am.
I mean, it's you are very self-sufficient. You leave home at 15. You move to New York when you're 22. Short time after that, you are the creative director of Portico. But in between that, you lived in your car for 2 years. You had a lot of different jobs in retail and service. I just think, you know, not everyone lands where you are having to survive like that. What kept you going?
I mean, just because you see where I landed, but, you know, there's been failure after failure after failure. There has been, you know, many times where I didn't know where I was paying my rent or where I was being able to afford my next meal. And, you know, those times, it hasn't really been that long ago. Yeah. You know, I had my own businesses for years, but there's also, you know, I opened up my first store in New York, you know, November 2007, you know, and then the market crashed in 2008. And, you know, so there was always some very hard times. You know, it hasn't always been a success, but, you know, I think the key to it has just always been not looking at failures as the end. The failure is just a lesson to help you do it better the next time.
Right. And you have been dispensing decorating tips for people's virtual homes on the social simulation Nintendo game Animal Crossing.
Yes.
Yeah, you give hip tips.
Basically.
Hip tips. So what's a reoccurring hip tip that you're giving a lot?
Move your furniture from the walls and put it in the middle of the room. People are like, I just don't know how to spatially put it. I'm like, why is everything like pushed against the walls? I'm like, put a rug in the middle of the room. Bring your furniture into the middle of the room. That's, I think, the number one piece of advice I had to give people.
Great. That's a great one.
I will say that's hard for New York City living because sometimes the room that you're in is the size of a couch.
Agreed. I believe that. I was in New York for 14 years. I very much get it.
So based on that, we have a Ask Me Another Challenge for you, kind of about Animal Crossing. Are you ready for an Ask Me Another Challenge?
Yes, please.
Okay, fantastic. For our listeners who are not familiar with Animal Crossing, it's a game where you live on an island with a bunch of anthropomorphic animals that it has a heavy interior design element to it. So, and in this game, you are just going to guess the animal we're talking about based on a description of its home.
Okay.
It all becomes perfectly clear right now. Okay. Here's your first one. Come take a look at Lily's pad. Her decor keeps things fresh. Fresh water, that is. The poster of Kermit on her wall really pops. Plus, she's got a great DIY recipe for catching flies, which pairs very well with turnips.
Could it be a frog?
Why, yes, it could. Yes, it is. Since she's the world's largest bird, villager Phoebe finally broke down and paid for an expansion. Now she has room for her custom turtlenecks with extra neck. You could try holding down the B button to race her, but I doubt you'll beat the fastest bipedal species on Earth.
She's the biggest bird and the fastest?
World's largest bird, fastest bipedal species on Earth. So, yeah.
A flightless
bird. Yes.
Oh. Is it an ostrich?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I like, did you have in your head, you were like, wait a minute, I know what the fastest bird is, and I know what the largest bird is, and they're not the same. Is that what was happening in your head?
A flightless bird is a weird, creepy thing. I will just say that.
If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, but it's fast and big, it's an ostrich.
That's what they say. That old expression.
All right. Let's see if you get this one. I have a good feeling you'll get this one. Ava finally grew up and flew the coop. Co-op apartment that she shared with 15 foul roommates who are really rustling her feathers. Now she has plenty of space to hide her eggs for the Bunny Day egg hunt. It's her first one, so she'll have to wing it.
Is it an Easter bunny? now. A chicken.
And, you know, we've been saving up as many chicken puns as we have for 10 years or so. So we were able to put them all into that one question.
We have the encyclopedia of chicken puns on our desk.
That was like a Vegas hotel and casino. Like the designer had all these great ideas that they've come up with over the years, and they go to the developer and they're like, hey, we have all these great ideas. Which ones would you like to do? And the developer's like, yes. And they're like, wait, no, but which one? And he's like, yes, all of them. Let's do all of them.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, this is your last clue. In the 4 to 6 hours that he's awake, Ozzy is constantly crafting furniture at his outdoor workbench. In those other 20-ish hours, this marsupial is either crossbreeding flowers or zoning out while chomping on eucalyptus leaves.
A koala.
Mm-hmm. That is correct, koala.
Do you guys know why they sleep so much?
Why?
Because there's actually cyanide in eucalyptus. It puts them to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, we learned that when we were filming in Australia. There's actually cyanide in eucalyptus, and that's their main diet, and it just knocks them out.
I do the same thing, but with whiskey.
You did amazing. Of course you did amazing. Thank you so much. The new season of Queer Eye is out right now. Thank you so much for joining us, Bobby.
Thank you, guys. Such a pleasure. Such a fan of the show.
Thank you. Season 5 of Queer Eye is available now on Netflix. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Coulton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by our staff and senior writer Karen Lurie, with additional material by Ashley Brooke Roberts and Kara Weinberger. Ask Me Another's produced by Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Nancy Seychow, James Farber, and Ramel Wood. And this week, we have to say goodbye to our amazing intern, Nick Garrison.
Raining rocks.
We are so happy Nick was here to help us with so much, including helping us figure out how to turn a live event trivia show into something we could tape from home. And Nick always brought an amazing attitude, took on everything we threw at him, and even wrote some of the games you've heard over the past few months. So Nick, thank you so much for everything. We're going to miss you. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal. Our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm Harriet Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR.